We're going to watch a video right now. Today we're looking at the subject of change of heart, in case you wondered what this heart is for. But we're just going to watch a video now from Howard Davis.
Hi, Robin, and everyone who's listening. I was looking at the topics that Robin is intending to preach on over the next few weeks, and one caught my eye, and that is the topic of change of heart. And it took me back, well, best part of 40 years, to when we were living in Hampshire. And we just started going to a small Anglican church there, and then one time I was listening to the preacher one morning, and Janet was home with our elder son, who was then just a baby. And he was going on, and all of a sudden he said, "And if Jesus was standing where I am, would you stay in your seat or would you come to the front?" So I thought, holy smoke, that's heavy duty. And I was a bit of a cold sweat, so I said to the lady next to me, I said, "You're going to go down?" And she looked at me and shook her head. So I said, I just felt I had to go. So I went down the front, and there was about half a dozen of us down there, I suppose. And that was, for me, it was a life-changing moment, a change of heart, if you like. I knew in the ensuing time, over the next few weeks, I suppose, that he was calling us to be fishers of men, strange expression, but to reach out to others on his behalf. And I also knew that I was forgiven of all the things that I'd done wrong, not only before, but afterwards, right up to now. I never stopped doing things wrong. So it just struck me that when Jesus says to people, "You must be born again," it could be interpreted as a change of heart. I had a change of heart all those years back, and it's been good. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks, Howard, for that. That's great. Howard, can I just say that you and Janet are a real blessing to this church. You serve in so many ways. You have a great heart. And we pray over your life and the life of your family that this will be a season for you, a blessed season. Thank you for the way you serve. Thank you the way that you help our Oasis family. We are really blessed. So today, the co-hosts today for Change of Heart, as we're looking at this second part in the discipleship journey, living the best life, is Pastor Rachel. I'm sure most of you, if not everybody, knows Pastor Rachel. So thank you, Pastor Rachel. And we have Sean with us today. It's great to have Sean with us. Sean is one of our managers in our Woodrow shop, and she does a fantastic job. And she's been a real blessing to us since you've come to us and our church and part of our Oasis family. So thank you for today. And thank you for volunteering.
Oh, thank you.
Did you volunteer?
Yeah, totally. Okay. Yeah.
Just checking.
But it's great just to have different people around the table or around the tub chairs today. So today we're going to continue to look at the subject of living the best life, a discipleship journey, and we're looking today at a change of heart, which again is what this is for here today, to help us focus. I asked this week for us to do something slightly different. I asked us to do a survey. We sent a Survey Monkey out to everybody, and we tried to collate those results. And I was collating those results until early evening on Saturday, but those results have changed again because more people have still continued to do that. But I'm going to take the results really in a minute from about 6:30, 7 o'clock last night that I collated those results. But again, there are more today, and it's changed today. But first of all, I want to thank KP. KP, that's the initials of somebody from church, who emailed me after they'd seen the video, and hopefully you've been watching the video and you've seen the video. And this is what she said: "Thank you for this. It looks like it might be what I really need right now." And then we've had a young lad that has joined us, 23-year-old young lad who has become part of the Oasis family. You'll know who you are. We've been having some conversations about discipleship together, and thank you for that time that you've given me, allowed me to speak into your life. But what he said was, "This is just what I need right now." So we're praying that this will be just what people need right now. God's timing is everything. God's timing is perfect. So thank you for those comments. I made a comment in the video that I sent out that when you and I became Christians, it was because God sought us out and we experienced a life-changing encounter. It was a God encounter. God met us and completely changed us from the inside out. He changed our spiritual direction, the way our life was going. In that encounter, we realized that we needed Jesus. We realized who Jesus was. We really realized that we needed forgiveness from our sins and that only Jesus could truly forgive us. And so we came to a point in our life, for those of us that follow Jesus, for those of us who call ourselves Christians, you may not have encountered Jesus in this way yet, but maybe through watching this today, and I pray that you will have an encounter of the God kind that would just you'll just know him in a very real way. He'll reveal himself to you today. But for those of us that have been on this journey, we've encountered him and we've encountered Jesus' love for us. And the way that he's forgiven us of our sins. And that has been like a massive burden that we've been carrying. And we've given it over to Jesus. And God has given us a fresh start. And this is where our upward relationship with Jesus begins. So there were two questions on the Survey Monkey that we sent out. And the first question was, when you became a Christian, how did you know you needed to ask God to forgive you from your sins? How did you know that? And there were four possible answers, and the first answer was another Christian explained that to me. So maybe someone either on the television or in a church service or a friend came and explained to you the importance of you and I needing to be forgiven from our sins. I remember I was brought up in church, but I remember that day I heard this guy speak about the importance of being forgiven from our sins. He spoke it out. I heard it and I responded. And 62.5% at that time, last night, responded and said another Christian explained that to me. 22.5% said no one explained it to me. I just knew I needed to do this. I just knew I needed to do this. And God works in very different ways for different people. And I don't know how that happened to you, but I'm sure God just came into where you were. The presence of God came and you just knew in your spirit that you needed to do this. You need to ask God to forgive you and ask God to change your life and give you a hope and a future and forgive you from your sins. You might be listening right now, and where you are right now, maybe God is just speaking to you. Maybe God's just impressing on your heart how much he loves you and he wants you to have a new start. And 15% said that they felt that they realized that they needed to be forgiven of their sins and have a fresh start by reading the Bible. And that's wonderful that we have this Bible, we have the Word of God that God gives us. And as we read it, we find that God wants to speak to us, and he'll speak to us today through it, I'm sure, and we'll speak to you. And we just open that Word of God, and the Word of God says that we need to put our life right with Jesus. And we did that. So thank you all for those of you that took that survey. Sean, which of those was relevant to you? Can you explain that to us and maybe just share a little bit about your story, how you became a Christian and how you ended up here?
Yeah,
could you do that for us? Thank you.
Well, my answer was another Christian explained to me. And to be honest, it was... I haven't been a Christian for long, but I'd call myself proper Christian probably March last year, lockdown, and Alpha helped me a lot. But I remember also ringing Robin in the summer as well, June, July, in tears, not understanding sin whatsoever, thinking I'm the worst person ever, I can't get rid of this horrible sin. And it was Robin that said, Sean, we're all full of sin apart from Jesus. So once I got that in my head, and that is why Jesus obviously died for us on the cross, it made life so much easier. Don't get me wrong, I wasn't going out murdering people, adultery, or anything like that. But even the little sins, like swearing, partying, getting drunk, and things like that, that was the hardest bit I had to get over. When I was a child, I was quite a lonely child. I had two brothers, mum, dad, but also just felt lonely, wasn't quite fitting in, bullied at school, the same story as most people, I can imagine. Got to teenagers, obviously got into the wrong crowds, used to go clubbing and dancing and drugs and partying. Then luckily, out the sunshine, Rich met me, my husband, and we had children, we got married. But we were definitely on the wide path. It's not since I've become a Christian and look back. We were losing houses, losing jobs, in debt, and it just wasn't a happy living situation. I struggled being a mom, obviously Rich being at work by myself, no friends, no girly friends. And then eventually I was getting a bit older. Kids went to school making friends, which I thought were good friends, but they're not good for me either. And it was just, I was lost, just lost. There was always something trying to get me, but I was looking in the wrong place. I was going to the spiritualist church, which is a big no-no now, I know, obviously reading in the Bible. And once again, now I look back, I'm lucky to be alive when I think about it, because I put myself in so much dangers, looking into the wrong things, not quite witchcraft or anything like that, but not far off them lines. And I just felt there was something still pulling me. And the one morning, not so long ago, I think it was 2019 in July, I remember just praying in the morning. I'd only ever pray at night, sort of thing, going, thank you, God, for me. Please keep my children safe, well and healthy. That was it. I didn't really know what else to speak about, how to pray, really. Am I doing it properly? I just knew that I should speak to God. But I didn't quite have the relationship I do have now with him. So the morning in July, I remember praying, please, God, I just can't do this anymore. I'm lonely. Can you help me? And by some miracle, obviously, God answers our prayers. I was literally waiting on the bench, waiting for a bus, and our lovely Ruth Deacon in charge of Sunday school come round the corner, and basically my whole life changed from that day. They needed a new manager at the shop, not just the work, obviously I love my work, but also it introduced me to the Oasis family, and from there my world just turned totally upside down. My faith in the Lord grew. I'd come to church before lockdown, and obviously I was worshipping and I was getting to know everyone, and they're all gorgeous and lovely, but like I say, it was mainly lockdown. Once I was stuck by myself once again, getting lonely, that's when Jesus really came and found me. And I remember the first thing I read in the Bible was, love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. I'm quite a lucky person. I'm quite a lovable person. So that was easy for me to do, to give God all my heart and Jesus all my heart. Because like people that know me, I'm quite a caring, loving person. I'll go and help anyone. But sometimes it comes back and gets you. And that's the bit I was also having difficulty with. Forgive and forget. Because once again, rang Robin, crying, how do we do this? And it's very, very hard. But now I look back, I'm glad that Jesus come and found me, because I can honestly say I am saved. I'm blessed. My whole life has just changed totally. Obviously due to Oasis family and church, but also a lot through Jesus Christ himself just coming to find me and holding my hand. And now every morning and night and all day I pray and my prayers are heard. And I'm blessed. I know I am. So thank you.
Thanks, Sean. That's wonderful, Sean. You have been a real blessing to me, and I've loved our conversations. We've had some
even
fun.
Even the tears.
Yeah, and that's what we're for, family. It's great to have Richard as well. I enjoyed going for a meal with Richard. Even though he didn't finish his dinner, I finished mine, but it was great to have time with Richard. He's a good man. He's got a great heart for him and your family. You've got lovely kids.
God is definitely working in our family, and yeah, blessing us.
And he will continue to do that, as he's promised. He's brought you this far, and he'll continue to take you until he calls you home or until he comes back.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I know I'm just at the beginning of my journey. I know I've got a long, long way to go yet, but I get excited picking up my Bible every morning and
fantastic,
looking into it and reading it and seeing what advice God's got to give me for the day or the week or the month to come. So, yeah,
thank you.
It's good.
Thanks for sharing that. You did really well. I think you're after my job. Great. Okay, so we're going to move on to the second question that we had on the survey market. A bit of a strange question maybe, and we've used the word repentance. I know some people don't like the word repentance, but that's use this word at the moment. When you tell others about repentance, which is the most relevant to you? 7.5% said that they never tell people they need to repent. 15% said, I sometimes tell people they need to repent. 17.5% said, I always tell people they need to repent. And 60% says, it depends on who I am speaking to. And of course, God uses us in different ways to encourage people to follow Jesus and to explain. And part of this course in repentance, we're looking at this purposely, is to look at what repentance is, so we can help people as the Holy Spirit leads us to do that. But I find it really interesting that Jesus' first public ministry that we read in Matthew 4, verse 17, was used these words, repent for the kingdom of God is near. Jesus' very first ministry sermon was to tell people you need to have a change of heart. Things need to change for you. You can't continue the way you are. You need to come back to the Father and you need to repent. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, the four Gospels, Jesus talked about this a lot. And so for us, it is important. Repentance is important, that we give our life to Jesus and we ask him to forgive us and give us a fresh start. We're going to look at them now, but if you look at the apostle Peter, he did the same in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And 5,000 people came into the kingdom on that day. So what is repentance? Repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of action. Before we made the choice to ask Jesus to become our personal saviour, we used to live our life in the way that we wanted it to. It's a wide path. We decided how we would live our life, and that's what we did. But now, for those that have given their life to Jesus, we've made a conscious choice. Life is about choices. We've made a decision to live our life in the way that Jesus commands us to. That's quite a strong word, commands, but he does. He commands us to live in a different way. In the video, we looked at the Greek word for repentance is metanoia, and it means a transformative change of heart. It's about a spiritual conversion. And through our decision, we had a spiritual conversion. And in a sense, we had a heart transplant. God gave us and changed our heart of stone and gave us a heart of flesh. We had a question that came in. This is the first question that came in. We're going to be trying to look at lots of questions today as quickly as we can, and hopefully we'll do them justice. So please forgive us if we don't, but we'll do our very, very best to do that. But this is one of the questions. Every year I try to change my behavior, lose weight, get fit, etc. Every year I fail. So how can I be sure and can change my behavior to be a Christian? What is the difference between a change of heart and behaviour modification? So in this divine exchange, this God encounter that we had, where we encounter God, we realise that there's something not right in our life. We need to put our life right with God. We realise that we've sinned, we've made mistakes. Something wonderful and amazing happens within us. First of all, God takes our heart, broken, sinful, and he cleanses our heart and gives us a fresh start. And he gives us his Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that more next week. But God gives us his Holy Spirit. And from that point on, we don't have to try and do things in our own strength. We don't have to try and do it our own way anymore. Quite often, we fail when we do it in our own strength. Quite often, we have all these ideas at the start of the year, I'm going to do this, that, and the other. But we fail because we try and do it in our own strength. But now, the difference is when we give our life to Jesus, that we don't have to do it in our own strength. There's a beautiful scripture that says in the New Testament, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, I can do all things through God who strengthens me. I can do all things through God who strengthens me. So God will transform us from the inside out. He will teach us and he will help us to live differently. He will help us to become a disciple, to become like Jesus, to live like him, to behave like him in this world, and to help others to become a disciple too. Pastor Rachel, is there anything that you want to add to that?
I think what we have to remember is when we talk about sin, we often think about, well, that's the things that I do wrong. And sometimes we think we do big sins and we do little sins. But actually, sin fundamentally is being separated from God. And the things that we do as a result, they're like a result of that, you know. But actually, the reason we sin is because we're separated from God. So when we come into relationship with Jesus, we're no longer separated. So sin, the Bible says, no longer has control over us. So I think that's really what makes it different to just, hey, I'm turning over a new leaf. It's 1st of January, I'm going to lose a stone in weight or something like that. You know, this is about actually sin doesn't have that hold over us. We still do make mistakes, of course we do. And God forgives us for that, which is good. Repentance has to continue throughout our lives. But it's about this, you know, being in relationship with God. That's what fundamentally changes, which is what makes this different from just January the 1st, I'm going to resolve to do whatever. Because we all know it's January the 17th now. We've all broken our New Year's resolutions, haven't we? Let's be honest. But this isn't that. This is about us being in communion with God. And the change that that brings about. And sometimes I think God, when we do repent, we do turn around and we go in the opposite direction. Sometimes we can realise, oh, I didn't react the way I would have reacted. And we almost don't, we haven't tried. It just happened. You might think, oh, I'd have lost my temper years ago about that. And now I haven't. And that's a result of the God that's inside of you, rather than the fact that I tried really hard not to lose my temper. So it doesn't mean it's all about God. It's both our, you know, we have to turn our face to that way, but God really helps us in that. So yeah,
thanks Pastor Rachel. So basically repentance is where we move in a completely different direction. We do a 180 degree turn towards God. Before we became a Christian, before we decided to follow Jesus, before we made that choice, we were walking on what the Bible calls this broad path, and the Bible tells us it leads to destruction. We used to live it our own way. And so when we invited Jesus into our life, we accepted it into our life as our personal saviour. We then turned our back on the way we used to do things. We go into a different direction. If you like, we stop singing the song, I'll Do It My Way. We know that song by Shirley Bassey, I'll Do It My Way. And quite often, that's the way we still live our life. We will do it our own particular way. But now, with Jesus living within us, with a fresh start, we start to sing a new song. We start to sing, I'm going to do it your way, Lord. It's all about you and what you want. I want to do your will. I want to obey you. It's all about you. So at that point, Jesus gave us a fresh new start. He gave us a clean heart, and he places us on this narrow path, a different path. The Bible calls it a narrow path. So Sean, we're going to ask you to again speak to us, if you don't mind. I know you love to sing, I know you love to worship, and when we're on our chats sometimes you're going, I'm singing my heart out here, and Richard goes in the other room, I know, because it's so loud. But I'm sure it's wonderful in your house. In my house I sing loud. I'm always worshiping loud, and I love to do that. But you sing a new song now. Something's different in your heart. Tell us a little bit about your new song in your heart.
Well, yeah, like they say, I'm always worshipping. You ask any of my family, it's full blast over in the background, and I'm worshipping away. And like I say, I'm getting better at singing. The hubby did say I'm slightly... Oh, no, he's shaking his head. No. See, he was sinning because he was lying. But, yeah, my whole life has seriously changed. It sounds a bit corny when I say it like that, but it really has. Once Jesus found me and I accepted Jesus, my whole life has changed. I see it totally different. Just little things, you know, people that know me, I'm from Woodrow, and Woodrow's a lovely community, but, you know, we all look after ourselves. I'm not saying I'm a bit butch or anything, but since I've changed and I found Jesus, I was a proper mama bear, looked after my cubs. I was swearing and a lot, and the last argument I got in, I used Jesus and God's word. And I was calm. They were swearing at me and calling me all the names. And I just went, bless you. And at the time, I was a little bit, that's not working. But it really did. After, when I come home and I'd calm down, and if it truly does make you a different person, I would rather be a nice person following God's law, because we all follow laws, just that I prefer to follow God's law to the wide path law, shall we say. And it truly does change you. All I'm saying, just give it a chance, and yeah, it changes your life totally. It does.
We just had a message from Abby.
Oh, hi, Abs.
Abby says, Mom, no, Mom, you're amazing at singing.
Thank you,
so
Abby.
There you are.
And she's an amazing daughter too.
Yeah, she's a very special girl. She's a good lass. I'm blessed to know her. That's good.
I am a true testament. So. Yeah.
Keep singing. Yeah, never give up. Never give up. So with our encounter with God, we have a new heart. We live in a new kingdom called the Kingdom of God. Jesus is our King. A new song in our life. Our desire now is to live a life that pleases Him and not to do the things we used to do in the way we used to live our life before. We surrender our will and our plans and our purposes to His. And I'm sure in that discussion you had with somebody where you could have swore, you could have behaved in the old way.
I used to, yeah.
Yeah, the Lord gave you the strength. It wasn't in your own strength you did this now. It was God working in your heart and helping you to do that. So it's not always easy when people are having a go at you, but God, it's amazing the strength that God gives us. So that's good. So we've had some more questions now. We're going to try and answer them as quickly as possible and as carefully as possible. But this was one of the questions we had. How do you encourage someone who's had a change of heart but backslidden again? So first of all, this is what I would encourage you, is first of all, you'd be talking to Jesus about this person anyway. They're obviously important to you, precious to you, and you'll be praying and you'll be inviting the Holy Spirit to help you. And for me, what I would be doing is I'd be saying, Lord, show me the words to say. Give me the words to say. Give me the opportunity to say it. And there's been a number of times in my life where I've been praying for somebody in particular. God has enabled me to meet with them through a divine appointment and has given me the words to say to them. The last day, well, the first day the shop was open in January, which was the last day, there was a guy that came in. You'll know who I'm probably talking about. And he talked to me. And a number of times I've talked to him about coming back to the Lord. And he did some stuff as a Christian that he really regrets. He made a mistake, probably more than one, and he felt that God could not possibly love him. God couldn't accept him again, that he'd blown it, that God had given him a chance and he'd blown it, he'd walked away. And I just encouraged him and reminded him that God still loves him. He's still important to God. God still has a plan and purpose for him. And all he needs to do is ask God to forgive him and to give you him a fresh start again. And I encouraged him to do that. And he did say he would be coming to church when we reopened. But obviously he's not here at the moment. But I'm praying that he will. And for you that's asked that question, you've obviously got a reason. I don't know your circumstance. But what I would say is reinforce Jesus' love for them. Keep telling them that Jesus loves them. Keep telling them that Jesus will accept them exactly as they are today. It doesn't matter the mistakes. God knows the mistakes we're going to make. But just keep reinforcing this love that Jesus has for them and how precious they are. And that the Lord Jesus is waiting for them with his arms outstretched right now for them to come back. Pray for the right time, pray for the right words. That would be my encouragement to you. Does anybody want to add anything to that? Okay. Second question. I particularly like the scripture quoted on confessing to your brother or sister, a way of repairing relationships. Do you think there is ever a right time to confess your sins, grievances to your brother and sister? I'd say that there is a right time to confess your sin, not necessarily to your brother or sister, but to God, and that is to do it straight away. When you know that you've made a mistake, when you know that you've done something wrong, when you've grieved God, and you know that, the most important thing is to deal with it straight away. Otherwise, what will happen is it will consume you. It will take up your thoughts. And God doesn't want that for you. He wants you to come back to him, to confess your sin, confess your grievance, and let him deal with that. Don't let the enemy get a foothold in your life. But what I would say to you is, and what I would encourage you, is that if you do want to share it with someone, it's important you share it with the right person. Don't just share it with anybody. Don't just bump shoulders with another Christian and go, oh, I need to confess my sin to you. I think whenever you share your heart and things that you that are on your heart that you know God wanting to deal with, and you feel you need other brothers or sisters to do that, then make sure it's somebody that you can trust. Make sure it's somebody that wants the best for you in your life. Make sure it's somebody that loves you, that will tell you the truth because they want the best for you. There are some people that don't want the best for you, unfortunately. And you don't just put all your dirty washing out on the line. You find the right person that you love, that loves you, and to share that with you. And you share together, and you can pray together, and you can be accountable to them. And you can work through those things. And also you can meet with Pastor Rachel, Pastor Josh, or myself, if you can get hold of Pastor Josh. But you can make an appointment with one of us to do that as well. Anybody want to add any questions? No? Okay, next question. What if I can't forgive myself? What if others won't forgive me? Do you know, it's not uncommon for people to say, I can't forgive myself. Quite often I'll have conversations with people and they'll say, I know God's forgiven me, but I just can't forgive myself. I just want to say, I think it's helpful to remember what Jesus did on the cross for us when we are struggling to forgive ourselves. That Jesus went to the cross so that we could forgive ourselves, so that we could receive forgiveness from him and we can have a fresh start. And it's really important to focus on the cross and what Jesus has done for us. Remember, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. And that includes us. That includes every sin that we've ever done in our life up until now. It includes the sins that we'll do today. And includes the sins and mistakes we'll make in the future. Remember this verse that we looked at on the video before, 1 John 1 verse 9. Maybe you've written it down and put it in your journal. If you haven't, I would encourage you to do so. It says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Jesus will forgive us our sins. That's why he's a wonderful saviour. He forgives our sins. He's faithful and just and will forgive us. You see, when we ask God to forgive us and we repent of them, they are no longer remembered by the Lord Jesus Christ. They're no longer written in a book. It's almost like God gets his eraser and he gives us a fresh start, a clean slate. He rubs it out. And sometimes we go back to God and say, I'm so sorry for that thing I did years ago. And God goes, what thing? I don't remember it. I've dealt with it. You don't need to bring it up again because I've already dealt with it. Do you know, Jesus knows the battles we will have in our life. But he will help us in our life to move on. And he'll give us the strength to move on. The thing is, sometimes we do hurt people. We hurt the people that we love the most. We don't want to do it, but we find ourselves doing it. And we hurt our Christian family, and we've all done it. Not one of us is exempt from that. We've said something or done something. But you know, the Bible calls every believer in Jesus to forgive those people that hurt us. It's a commandment. It's not something Jesus says, well, I'd like you to try and do it. If we're a Christian, if that believer that we've hurt chooses or is not forgiving us at the moment, I want to say to you that in God, it's their responsibility to forgive. They need to bring it to Jesus. They need to ask God to help them to do it. You see, if a believer chooses not to forgive somebody, what they're doing is elevating themselves above God. They think they're no better than God. They can make choices. No, God has made that choice for us. We are to forgive as we have been forgiven. And it's good to remind ourselves what we've been forgiven from. God has forgiven us from so much, and we need to extend forgiveness to other people, especially our brothers and sisters, because we'll all make those mistakes. What do we do if the person isn't a Christian that won't forgive us? Well, I just say, all you can do is to ask them to forgive you. Write them a letter if you can't speak to them. Ask for forgiveness, and it's their choice. And you need to move on now, because you've done everything you can do, and wait for that opportunity where that will happen in the future for you, where hopefully they will extend that forgiveness to you. But you just do everything you can do. And if they won't accept it, then you need to move forward with God in God's forgiveness and choose to forgive yourself in that. Anybody want to add to that?
I think just if you're saying, I can't forgive myself, then actually what you're saying is the word of God isn't right, because it says quite clearly in that 1 John verse that God will forgive us. So if you're saying, I can't forgive myself, firstly, you're probably talking about your emotions and how you feel. I don't feel like I can forgive myself. You know, we're going to talk about forgiveness in a few weeks, so we don't want to go into that. But, you know, maybe you need to actually repent of that thought of, you know, I'm saying that God's wrong because I'm saying I can't forgive myself when God says that he can. You know, so maybe we need to repent of that thought, and the emotions will catch up at some point. But we'll talk about that more in a few weeks, I think.
Thanks, Pastor Rachel. Next question. Is it more likely that God will cause a spontaneous change of heart, or will he do it over a long period of time? Wow. Well, very simple answer is I've seen both. I've seen people that used to swear and drink and take drugs, and they encounter Jesus, and the next day they stop swearing, they stop drinking, they stop taking drugs, and it's just, wow, that is a completely different change of heart. And I've seen that so many times over my Christian life, and I've seen it times when people have come to know Jesus and have struggled with things, and it's taken time, but the Lord Jesus gently, lovingly help them through that. The Holy Spirit has come and they've made a mistake and they've repented again, and God says, that's okay. And sometimes it's both, or sometimes it's spontaneous, other times it can take a long time. I don't know why God does that. All I know is his timing is perfect, and what he does, he knows when someone's going to come to him, whether it's going to take a second for their life to change or whether it's going to take a lifetime. So that's the best answer I have for that. Anybody want to answer?
No, I think we're running short of time.
We are running short of time. We're going to keep going. Okay. We often think of repentance as an immediate response to be challenged about our behaviour. Would you say it can be a process over a long period of time? Would you say that it's an ongoing throughout our faith journey as we allow the Holy Spirit to teach our hearts? So repentance is both an immediate and an ongoing process. It's a new way of life. It's in our upward relationship to God. So when we're talking about our upward relationship to God, repentance is continual in our life. We will continue to repent of things we do wrong this side of heaven. Martin Luther, who was a 16th century monk and theologian, said in 1517, when our Lord and Master said repent, he wanted us, the entire life of the believer, to be one of repentance. So Martin Luther taught in the Reformation times that our life is a life of repentance. We don't just do it once, we continue to do it. I think we've talked about the broad and wide path a bit more. People asked us to expand on that. I'll leave that one just for a time, other than to say, when we became a Christian, God lifted us from the broad path that took us away from him and placed us on a narrow path. And that narrow path is the path that God has called us to live. However, that wide path now is a no-go area for us. It's like a no-entry sign. If you're driving a car and you've got a no-entry sign in front of you, don't go down that path. And the Bible teaches us, don't go back. Don't go place your feet back on that broad path. It's really important. Stay on the narrow path. You might stumble and you might fall, but the Lord Jesus is walking with you. He will lift you up and he will walk with you. But my advice to you, please, do not go back on that wide path. It's a path that leads to destruction. All it will do is cause you pain and other people pain. So don't go there. Last question. How do we, from that I've been given, how do we fall short of the glory of God? What does that really mean? I'll try to answer that question really quickly. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We know that mankind is fallen by nature now. Adam and Eve used to walk with God. They communed with God. They talked with him. But they made a choice not to stay on the narrow path, not to do the things that God had asked them to do. They looked to the wide path. They wanted to do something different. They were tempted by the devil and they gave into that temptation and they brought sin into this world. And what happened was their upward relationship with God was broken. And that means today that where they should have glorified God and bring glory to God, they brought dishonor to him. They dishonored his name. And you and I today live in a world that likes to live for itself. It's a wicked world. It's a selfish world. We like to do it our way. And that kind of life does not bring honor to God. This is why Jesus had to come. And if you're wanting to understand why Jesus had to come, he had to come to repair that broken relationship between us and God. And God loves us, this beautiful heart loves us so much that he sent Jesus into this world to restore that relationship so that now those that put their trust in Jesus can have this upward relationship with him and can walk with him again and bring honor to his name. So we can't bring honor to his name if we're living in sin and we're sinning. But with Jesus living in our life, we can start to bring honor to God. Anybody want to add? A quote that came in, this wasn't a question, but it was a quote. All I know is that we have to forgive those that have hurt us. Otherwise, we cannot move forward with the Lord. And that is so true. We have to forgive those that have hurt us. Otherwise, we will not move forward. We'll get bitter. We'll get angry. We need to give it to the Lord. And sometimes we may think we've dealt with it. And I had that situation not so long ago. I honestly thought I'd dealt with something where somebody had hurt me quite badly. And it came back and it came back and it hit me quite hard and I had to bring it back to God again. But otherwise, if we don't let go of those things, we can't move on with the Lord. Okay. Sean, is there anything else you'd like to add to our discussions today?
Basically, I was just going to say from journaling, I've got my journal.
Okay.
And I've been reading Acts and obviously the first couple of things I said was about repentance, and I put in my prayer journal, obviously, what the advice you give, you know, pray on it, and then you surprised me with, do you want to come into the top chair, Sean? So that was a bit of a shock. But the first ones I obviously come across is Acts 16:31, and they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. And that's the bit I like as well, you and your household. Because obviously I'm going for this journey and I am showing my children and my husband, and I know they are slowly following as well, but that's a nice one to know. I'm repenting, so hopefully he's looking after me and my household. And also with a few more, Acts 17:30 to 31. And this was just this week's reading. So anyone that says, oh, God doesn't talk to you through your Bible and your prayers, this is living proof that God's taught to me. It's not a coincidence that I just happen to be reading this part, and it's all about repentance. That's just what I wanted to say, really.
Thank you. Rachel?
Just one final thing. Yeah, early on, Robin, you said that a lot of people don't like the word repent. And I think there's a reason for that. I think often in churches we've linked the word repent with the wrath of God. You remember seeing people sometimes many years ago on the street corner with a sandwich board, and it's all basically repent, or, you know, God's going to sort of get you. Yeah. And there's a verse in Romans 2, and Asher Deakin spoke on this a few months ago really well. And it said this, or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience, not realising that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? And I remember many years ago, my oldest child had slept really, really well. And then they got to an age of about 15 months, and suddenly they started waking up at all hours. And it was awful. And I was expecting child number two, so I was very, very tired. And I remember one particular night, she was up and I got me up, and I just lost it, you know, and I just shouted. And when I shouted, you know, will you lie down, she lay down, and I felt terrible. And the reason I felt terrible was because she'd laid down because I got cross and angry. And actually, I wanted her to do what I told her because out of love. You know, and the Bible says, you know, if you love me, Jesus says, you will keep my commandments. And it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance, not his wrath. You know, God doesn't want us to repent because we're frightened that God's going to come and smite us. You know, God wants us to repent because he has shown us kindness and love and patience. And so that's my final thoughts on repentance.
Thank you, Pastor Rachel. Thank you. So what I'd like us to know, I know we've run over again. I'm not going to apologise that today. I do believe that we need to deal with this and look at this subject. And again, Sean, thank you so much. Pastor Rachel is going to pray for us in a minute, but before we do, I just want us to sit for a few seconds and just invite the Holy Spirit to come. And whatever he wants to say to us, we want to hear. So let's just wait just for a second. Just give God time just to speak and to confirm what he's been saying into our life today.
Father God, we thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your compassion and your patience. And God, I thank you that you are looking for us. You are looking for us for relationship. Thank you for those words Sean used so many times today that said, when Jesus found me. And often we think about finding Jesus, but actually the truth of Jesus finding us. And so, God, I just pray for everyone who's watching today that they will know that they have been found by you, that they will make that step and turn their life around, turn around about face to face you and start walking in your direction. Father, we thank you for your kindness and your mercy to us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Pastor Rachel. Pastor Rachel, you're going to go to the keyboard. And Simon. A little drummer boy. Great to have Simon with us, and you're a real blessing to us, Simon. If you're at home, give him a round of applause. He's doing a great job. That's good. Thank you, Simon. So, let the transformation of a lifetime continue. Next week, we're going to look at the subject we call Something Fruitful. So you'll receive a video later on today, and we'd like you to watch that. Thank you so much. Thank you for connecting with us. Thank you for engaging with us. And we pray God's amazing blessing. Pastor Rachel.